Nếu như
globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera, poročamo o južni polovni.
Neodvisna republika Somaliland. Na jugu samooklicane samostojne države Somaliland v mestu Las Anod so se pred nekaj več kot 10 dnevi začeli oboroženi spopadi med vladnimi varnostnimi silami in lokalnim prebivalstvom, ki nasprotuje neodvisnosti Somalilanda. V regiji Suol, katere administrativno središče je Las Anod, zaradi nejasnih meja med de facto samostojnim Somalilandom in avtonomno regijo Puntland, ki je del Zvezne republike Somalije, do podobnih nasilnih spopadov prihaja vse od ustanovitve Somalilanda. Somaliland ima svojo administracijo z glavnim mestom v Hergeisiji, svojo vojsko in denarno valuto deluje kot neodvisna država, vendar je kot tako ne priznava nobena država ali mednarodna organizacija. Zvezna republika Somalija Somaliland še zmeraj obravnava kot del federacije, čeprav centralna vlada v Mogadišu nima nobena vpliva nad njegovim upravljanjem. Zaradi jasnosti bomo mi Somaliland obravnavali kot od Somalije ločeno entiteto. Preden se posvetimo aktualnemu dogajanju v Afriškem rogu, bomo predstavili ustanovitev, zgodovino in delovanje Republike Somaliland. Na koncu 19. stoletja je oblast nad območjem današnjega Somalilanda, ki leži severno od Somalije, dobilo Združeno kraljestvo. Oblikoval se je britanski protektorat, ki je dobil ime Britanski Somaliland. Ozemlje današnje Somalije je bilo pod nadzorom kraljevine Italije. Protektorat se je imenoval Italijanski Somaliland. Najprej so se izpod oblasti evropskih kolonizatorjev osvobodili prebivalci britanskega Somalilanda, ki je neodvisnost razglasil 26. julija 1960. 6 dni pozneje, 1. julija 1960, je neodvisen postal tudi italijanski Somaliland. Kako se je še na isti dan z združitvijo nekdanjega britanskega in italijanskega ozemlja oblikovala Republika Somalija, opiše Marcus Virgil Huen, profesor na Univerzi v Leipzigu in avtor knjige Between Somaliland and Puntland, Marginalization, Militarization and Conflicting Political Visions.
1st of July 1960, both territories, the former British and the former Italian, united to form the Somali Republic. So this was, so to say, the expression of Somali nationalism, which was a striving political dynamic in those days, in the 1950s, 1960s. And the idea was that all Somalis in the Horn of Africa belong together under one big government. So you also have Somalis in today Djibouti, you have Somalis in eastern Ethiopia, you have two Somalis in northeastern Kenya. So actually, if you would look at the map, you would see that Somali territory, Somali inhabited territory in the Horn of Africa is much bigger than the Republic of Somalia. And the unification of the British and the Italian territories in 1960 was just the first step. The idea of many Somali nationalists back then was to make a bigger Somalia, which integrates all these territories, including parts of Djibouti, eastern Ethiopia, and northeastern Kenya. However, this didn't then work out, but the unification between the British and the Italian territories worked out. So on 1st July 1960, the Republic of Somalia was established, and it included what is today Somaliland and the rest of Somalia.
Pred združitvijo obeh ozemelj in s tem ustanovitvijo Republike Somalije so se predstavniki obeh teritorijev, torej britanskega in italijanskega, dogovorili o ureditvi bodoče nove države. Država je postala parlamentarna demokracija. Med letoma 1960 in 1969 je imel izvršilno oblast predsednik vlade, ki je odgovarjal 123 članskemu predstavniškemu zboru. Vodja države je bil izvoljen predsednik. Obdobje parlamentarne demokracije se je končalo z vojaškim državnim udarom, ki ga je vodil Mohamed Siad Barre. Barre je državi vladal do leta 1991, na začetku brez izrazite opozicije. Leta 1977 je Somalija napadla Etiopijo z namenom, da si priključi regijo Ogaden. Po enoletni vojni, ki se je za Somalijo končala neuspešno, se je odporništvo v državi začelo krepiti. Eno izmed prvih gerilskih gibanj, ki se je oblikovalo v 80-ih letih, je bilo Somalijsko nacionalno gibanje. Uporniško gibanje je kasneje imelo pomembno vlogo pri ustanovitvi samostojnega Somalilanda.
In the first decade in the 1970s, I would say many Somalis were in agreement with the Somali Revolutionary Council. I mean, there were lots of reforms happening in Somalia, social reforms, economic reforms. Somali nationalism was still a striving force, you know, but then Somalia entered the so-called Ogaden War with Ethiopia, which was 1977 to 78, which was a pretty disastrous war between Somalia and Ethiopia, and Somalia lost the war. In early 1978, it was defeated, and in the wake of this defeat, a lot of opposition started inside Somalia, and the military dictatorship started also to crack down on any type of opposition more and more violently. And this was actually the beginning of what Somaliland today. Though in the early 1980s, in 1981, a rebel group was formed called Somali National Movement. This was not the first rebel group which was formed in Somalia, but it was a quite significant one. And so from 1981 until 1991, the Somali National Movement fought against the Somali army in the northwestern part of Somalia, which is today Somaliland. But they were not positioned inside the area, but they were positioned in Ethiopia. They were supported by Ethiopia, which was like the arch enemy of Somalia in those days. And they resorted to hit and run attacks on, you know, Somali military and police infrastructure, security infrastructure in northwestern Somalia. And then in 1988, the Republic of Somalia and Ethiopia entered a bilateral peace agreement. So they agreed to not support any guerrillas anymore. So Ethiopia doesn't support any kind of anti-regime guerrillas in Somalia. And Somalia doesn't support any anti-regime guerrillas in Ethiopia. And due to this agreement in 1988, the Somali National Movement, which so far was positioned in Ethiopia, had to leave.
V dogovoru med Etiopijo in Somalijo o nepodpiranju gverilskih gibanj v obeh državah je Somalijsko nacionalno gibanje leta 1988 začelo z napadi na večja mesta na severozahodu Somalije. Ti so se razvili v državljansko vojno, v kateri je sodelovalo več odporniških gibanj. Leta 1991 je režim Mohameda Siada Barreja padel. Glavno mesto Mogadiš pa so zasedle uporniške skupine, ki so se začele bojevati med sabo. Zaradi nestabilnosti na jugu države in z željo po miru se je na severu pojavila težnja po odcepitvi od Združene Somalije. Kot nadaljuje Huen, se je Somalijsko nacionalno gibanje zauzemalo za odgovor oziroma dogovor med uporniškimi gibanji, s katerim bi oblikovali vodstvo skupne države, a zaradi nesoglasi med uporniki do tega ni prišlo. Ozemlje nekdanjega britanskega protektorata, ki je od takrat znano pod imenom Republika Somaliland, je maja 1991 razglasilo neodvisnost.
Somali National Movement, actually the leadership of this guerrilla group in the northwest, they didn't want to declare independence. There was a rebel leader called Abdurrahman Tour. He was a very famous rebel leader in those days. He was the leader of the SNM. He was actually against independence. However, the ordinary people in the area had a lot of grievances against the government in Mogadishu. They demanded the declaration of independence, and the comrades in the south, you know, the rebels in the south in Mogadishu, were killing each other, though there was no partners. And in this moment, in May 1991, there was a big meeting among various groups in the Northwest, and they declared the independence of the Republic of Somaliland.
Poslušate oddajo Južna hemisfera na valovih Radia Študent. V prvem delu oddaje smo predstavili pot do razglasitve neodvisnosti Republike Somaliland. Po začetku državljanske vojne in odcepitvi Somalilanda se v Somaliji še vsaj desetletje niso pojavili poskusi oblikovanja centralne oblasti. Na severu, vzhodno od Somalilanda, je bila v odsotnosti politične organizacije na državnem nivoju leta 1998 ustanovljena avtonomna avtonomna regija Puntland. Ta se je za razliko od Somalilanda že od začetka dojemala kot del bodoče federativne republike Somalije. Ustanovitev in usmeritev Puntlanda, regije, ki je danes v ozemeljskem sporu s Somalilandom, predstavi Omar Mahmud, analitik v mednarodni organizaciji Crisis Group.
Of course, there was resistance to the dictatorship as well, emerging from this area. But it wasn't really until 1998, which is, you know, the government in Somalia collapsed in 1991. So there was a period where, you know, there wasn't a formation there. But it was in 1998 that Puntland, some of the communities there came together and decided to form their own administration. But they took a very distinct line compared to Somaliland. They didn't want independence. They didn't seek that. Rather, what they were saying is that they will be a federal part of a future Somalia. You know, so whenever Somalia, the government, whenever there's a new government, whenever these structures get resurrected, Puntland will be part of that. It'll be, you know, within that, a federal member will have some autonomy and whatnot, but it'll be part of that. So it was very clear that they were subordinating themselves to a future Somalia government. And so that's kind of how these two entities formed. Now, the dispute comes out, though, because they both claim overlapping territory. So Somaliland bases its claims on its colonial borders, which go up to a certain point and says, you know, everything that was the former colony of Somaliland is now the independent nation of Somaliland. Puntland, however, it bases their administration more on a clan family linkages. So they say they are basically a refuge for all members of the Somali Harti clan, which is part of the Darod, one of the big clan families. And so some of those Harti members are found, you know, across in these parts of where Somaliland and Puntland dispute each other.
Vzrok za ozemeljski spor med Somalilandom in Puntlandom je različno razumevanje temeljev, na podlagi katerih sta se obe politični tvorbi izoblikovali. Somaliland je svoje meje postavil na podlagi kolonialnih mej nekdanjega britanskega protektorata. Puntland pa se je izoblikoval na podlagi klanskih vezi. Konflikti izhajajo predvsem iz dejstva, da ozemlja določenih klanov segajo čez mejo Somalilanda. Problematični sta predvsem obmejni regiji Suol in Sanak, kjer sicer oboroženi spopadi niso stalni, vendar vsakih nekaj let izbruhnejo večji spopadi za določene kraje. Regije in mesta so torej razdeljena med različnimi klani oziroma plemeni. V Somalilandu je najvplivnejša tako imenovana družina Isak, ki je bila najdominantnejša tudi v somalijskem nacionalnem gibanju po padcu Barejevega režima.
So in Somaliland, you have the Isak, which is the core of what Somaliland is. You know, most of the politicians, most of the government, this comes from the Isak itself. And so there's criticisms from other clans that the Isak dominate. Now, the Isak are divided into three main sub-clans. There's others as well, but for all intents and purposes, you have the Garhajis, you have the Habarcello, and you have the Habar Awal. Now, outside of the Isak, in the western part of Somaliland, you have the Samaroon or the Gadabursi, which is another clan in that area. And then towards the east of Somaliland is where you have these Harti clans, the sub-clans being the Dulbahante and the Warsangeli. And so the criticism of those clans in the west and in the east has always been that Somaliland is an Isak-dominated entity, that they don't feel they have the same rights. The president of Somaliland traditionally is Isak. That's not always the case. You did have a Gadabursi president in the early 2000s. So, but a lot of the political parties, for example, Somaliland only allows three political parties. All three of them right now are headed by sub-clans of the Isak. And so a lot of the power and concentration is within the Isak. And this is kind of where these issues come about. And so especially for those in the east, the Dulbahante, they've always complained that they don't get their fair share within Somaliland.
Mm-hmm. Družba v Somalilandu, pa tudi drugod v Somaliji, temelji predvsem na plemenskih vezih. V prvih letih po ustanovitvi Somalilanda je država delovala izključno na vzpostavljanju soglasi med različnimi klani. Huen pojasni, kako je potekalo in do določene mere še danes poteka odločanje v skupnostih, ki so organizirane plemensko.
Somali society is a clan-based society, which means people belong to patrilineal descent groups. So in the father's line, people belong to extended families and even to bigger families like clans and clan families. And all over the territory of the Somali Peninsula, all kinds of different clans and clan families live together, or members of these clan families live together. So you have clan elders, clan leaders, who represent bigger groups of maybe thousands of people, and sometimes even hundreds of thousands of people. If you have to decide an issue at the level of national politics, like in the early 1990s in Somaliland, whenever there was something to decide, representatives of all the clans living in the area came together and discussed as long as it took in order to reach a consensus. So it's not a voting system, it's not like a parliamentary democracy or a multi-party democracy. So it's not like you have parties and then competition between the parties and then elections with one person, one vote. But you have clans, clan representatives, and they discuss. And they do not vote, but they actually try to reach consensus, which means it's like the smallest common denominator, so to say. But they also agree on certain cultural and religious orientations. So if, for instance, there's a conflict between two families from different patrilineal origins in the Somali territories, and the family elders come together and everybody agrees, let's say, killing is not okay. Killing should be compensated, or the killer should be killed. There are certain punishments for certain crimes. The elders agree on that, and then they only discuss the details among each other. And once they reach a certain consensus, then they talk to their own people and say, please now pay compensation for these killings which you have conducted. And then after the compensation has been paid, the benevolent relations between families can be restored.
Politični sistem v Somalilandu je nekakšen hibriden sistem, ki pomeni vpletenost klanov v formalne strukture države. Ustava Republike Somaliland določa predsedniški sistem, v katerem ima izvoljeni predsednik, katerega mandat traja 5 let, skupaj s kabinetom ministrov izvršilno oblast. Zakonodajno oblast ima dvodomni parlament, ki ga sestavljata spodnji predstavniški dom in zgornji dom starešin. Vsakega tvori 82 poslancev. V zgornjem domu, imenovanem Gu Urti, sedijo predstavniki klanov, ki jih izvolijo lokalne skupnosti. Šele leta 2002 je bila v Somalilandu vzpostavljena večstrankarska demokracija, v kateri so dovoljene 3 stranke. Predtem je vlada delovala na podlagi koalicij in soglasij med glavnimi klani v državi. Huen meni, da več infrastrukturni sistem v Somalilandu ne deluje.
Problems came only about, in my perspective, when a multi-party system was introduced in Somaliland in 2002, the first parties were established, political parties were established. But if you look carefully, you would realize those political parties actually do not have any kind of real ideological orientations, but mostly they are clan parties. And if you then enter elections, people vote for many, or very often people vote for their clan relatives. Which means they do not vote for the Socialist Party, they do not vote for the Conservative Party or for the Green Party or for any other party. They vote for their own clan. And then you do a little math test and you realize, okay, there's a big clan in Somalia, Somaliland. The biggest clan in Somaliland is called Isaac. So no matter what party you are in, no matter what so-called ideological positions you have, most ordinary people will always vote for their own relatives, which are Isaac, which means Isaac will always win, regardless in which party they are. Multi-party system is in a way messing up the self-governance structure of Somaliland.
V Somalilandu so strankarske volitve organizirane vsakih 10 let. Na njih se za status stranke poteguje več skupin, ki kasneje lahko delujejo v formalni državni politiki. Strankarske volitve so bile nazadnje načrtovane decembra lani, predsedniške pa novembra. Nobene volitve niso bile izvedene, prišlo je namreč do pravnih nesoglasij glede tega, kdaj bi morale biti posamezne volitve izvedene. Predsednik Muse Bihi Abdi in njegova stranka Kulmije sta ustrajala, da se morajo najprej organizirati strankarske volitve, šele na to predsedniške. Medtem sta opozicijski stranki Uvadani in Stranka za pravičnost in blaginjo trdili nasprotno. Predsednik upa, da bodo z novimi strankarskimi volitvami mandat dobile bolj neizkušene stranke, s čimer bi bila njegova pot do novega mandata lažja. Ne glede na predsedniške volitve, se strankarske volitve konvencionalno izvedejo sočasno z volitvami v lokalnih skupnostih. Politični sistem v Somalilandu niti ne dopušča možnosti, da bi se strankarske volitve izvedle neodvisno od lokalnih, ki so bile prav tako prestavljene. To je še eden od razlogov, zakaj strankarskih volitev decembra lani ni bilo mogoče izvesti. Sistem volitev v Somalilandu natančneje predstavi Mahmud.
Yeah, so in Somaliland, they have this system where only 3 political parties are allowed. You know, this is one of their regulations. The idea behind that is so parties don't become, you don't have a proliferation of many smaller parties that basically just represent clan interests. The idea is to have more national parties, and these parties have to obtain a certain amount of membership across all Somaliland territories. And so the way this is played out is every 10 years, there's a party election. And by that, basically any grouping that wants to become a political party becomes a political association. And then those political associations run for in this election, and then the top 3 are elected. And The dispute that happened now is in the past, that election was held at the same time that local council elections were happening. And then local council elections are electing basically local governance, and then it was easy to run those elections parallel and to see who comes out on top, and the top 3 became the parties. But because there's been delays in the local council elections, the party mandate did not expire at the same time as the last local council elections. And so now you're talking about a very separate political party election just for political parties, which hasn't happened before. It's always been combined elsewhere. And so that was part of the dispute and why things got delayed. But that is what should happen. Well, right now, Somaliland has given certificates to about, I think, 10 associations. So those associations plus the 3 current political parties will run in the political party election whenever it's held. And the top 3 will become the political parties, the 3 ones for the next 10 years. And that means those ones can then compete in all of the elections that come up, whether it's the presidential, whether it's parliamentary, whether it's future district council elections as well.
Šestindvajsetega decembra lani je bil član opozicijske stranke Uvadani Abdi Fata Abdullahi Abdi, ki izvira iz klana Dul Bahante, umorjen v mestu Las Anot, kjer od začetka februarja potekajo oboroženi spopadi. Atentati predvsem intelektualcev in državnikov iz klana Dul Bahante, ki so praviloma del državnega aparata Somalilanda, se v mestu in okolica dogajajo redno, vse odkar je administracija Somalilanda leta 2007 nasilno prevzela oblast v Las Anodu. Vzroki za atentate niso jasni. Pojavlja se več govoric, najverjetneje gre za spopade med klani. Za vsaj 40 podobnih umorov ni odgovarjal še nihče, kar je po decembrskem atentatu pripeljalo do nasilnih protestov v Las Anodu. Do aktualnega dogajanja, s katerim smo danes začeli. Najvplivnejši klan v mestu je Dul Bahante, ki je bil že od samega začetka jasen glede tega, da si ne želi neodvisnosti Somalilanda, ampak enotno somalijsko državo. Protesti zaradi atentata so se razvili v spopade med varnostnimi silami Somalilanda in unionističnim lokalnim prebivalstvom. Zaradi obstreljevanja mesta je otežen dostop do vode in elektrike.
So this was the one killing too much. And then the local population started demonstrating. The Somaliland administration of Las Anod lost control. They started to fire live bullets at the demonstrators, killing around 15 people, mostly young people, boys and girls. You know, and then this outraged the local population quite a bit, and many people in the area still have their own arms at home. So several people took up arms and chased the Somaliland forces out of the city, out of Las Anod. The Somaliland forces actually also withdrew in order to prevent further bloodshed. Now, and then mid of January 2023, the Somaliland army positioned itself quite heavily around Las Anod, while the city itself was in the control of the clan and the clan elders and armed members of the clan. And this is where we are today. So this was a situation where, from a perspective of the government of Somaliland, the people of Las Anod started a rebellion. But from the perspective of the people in Las Anod, what they did was just expressing their political position, which they already had expressed 25 years ago or 30 years ago. They already expressed their position, we do not want to be part of Somaliland, we want to be part of Somalia.
O vzrokih za spopade v Las Anodu, zaradi katerih je umrlo že vsaj 57 ljudi, po poročilih Združenih narodov pa jih je bilo zaradi konflikta razseljenih že več kot 80 tisoč. Mahmud.
So the immediate trigger of the clashes in Las Anod was the assassination of a prominent politician in the town in late December. And unfortunately, these assassinations have been commonplace, and there hasn't really been fully identified who's behind them or why. But there was a protest then of residents of the town protesting against this insecurity. Somaliland forces cracked down on that. And so this spurred a cycle of escalation to the point where Somaliland forces pulled back from Las Anod. And that then opened up an opportunity, because while this is the immediate trigger, the longer term dynamic is Las Anod's status and the status of the Dolbahante community there. Do they want to be part of Somaliland? Do they feel part of Somaliland? Are they looking for something else? And so this presented an opportunity to really bring that question to the forefront once again. And so you had a lot of prominent elders and other community members from the Dolbahante flood into Las Anod, which is basically the biggest town for the Dolbahante. And they started discussing and charting out their future. And they produced this communique, which said, you know, in the future, we actually want to be part of Somalia. We don't want to be part of Somaliland. And then you had the latest round of clashes basically start at the conclusion of this conference. And so now you have Somaliland forces and those community forces there fighting off against each other, because, you know, this question about where Las Anod sits in the future is very much up for debate.
Kako so se odvijali spopadi v mestu od začetka februarja do danes, opiše Huen.
6th of February, 7th of February, 8th of February were intense, more intense. The fighting it died down to some degree over the last few days. Also, I think because there's a lot of political pressure on the government of Somaliland to not commit further atrocities or to not continue shelling the city where still some civilians are living. You know, there's still hospitals working, there are people working in those hospitals, there are still ordinary people in town, even if the majority of the population actually fled to the countryside or to other places in Puntland. But there are still civilians in Las Anod. And the international community, I think the United Nations, the European Union, also neighboring governments, including Ethiopia, put a lot of pressure on the government of Somaliland to scale its attack on Las Anod down. And so there's only an occasional exchange of fire. There has been a ceasefire declaration, I think, last Friday. This ceasefire declaration, however, was broken by Somaliland itself. I mean, Somaliland, the government of Somaliland declared the ceasefire, but it continued actually fighting just a few hours later. It also brought quite a bit of reinforcement military to the area. So the fighting continued, but it was on a lower level, I would say, on a lower level, with, you know, just occasional artillery fire shot at the city and the armed self-defense group in the city shooting back.
Za razumevanje oboroženih spopadov v Las Anodu je potrebno razumevanje o statusu de facto samostojnega Somalilenda, ki je svoje meje določil na podlagi nekdanjih kolonialnih meja. Tako postavljene meje pa ne sovpadajo z dinamičnim dogajanjem v mejnih regijah, kjer si oblast delijo različni klani. Hemisfero je pisala Aida.